Well, amen. It's good to be here this afternoon. Amen. I'm like Pastor Dalton. I'm on the Eastern time zone myself. Amen. So, it's 1:10 to me. That means lunchtime has passed. Amen. But what a blessing it is to be here. I'm not as tall as they are, so I'm going to move this down. Amen. So that somebody in the back don't think I got a big mole right on my forehead. Amen. But what a blessing it is. I know of this church for the last couple of years anyway, but watching those pictures, I tell you what, I don't know how you held it together, because I sat over there. I don't even know most of you, and I was crying like a baby, amen? But the reason for that is there's something special about a church family. And I thank God for the history and the heritage of this church. I thank God. It's a church family. And sometimes people don't understand that. You forget that sometimes. But he made a statement. I'm gonna mention it again in just a minute. But enjoy the journey. You know, there's mountaintops and there's valleys. And you go through the good times, you go through the difficult times, the trials, the storms, the struggles, but through it all, God is good. I was thinking about the weddings. I don't like doing weddings. Amen. Funerals, the hospitals, the Christmas programs. Year in, year out. What a blessing it is to be part of a church family. And let me encourage you, get involved. Get involved. It doesn't always go my way, amen, but we're seeking God's way. So what a blessing it is to be here. 17 years of God's working. I believe God has, should he tarry his coming, a lot more that he wants to do in and through this place. I want to ask you if you would. Again, it's already after 1 o'clock to me, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a deal with you. If you'll say amen. Everybody said amen. You get more amens that way. I will not give you the entire message this morning. If you'll come back tonight, I'll finish it. I'll give you the introduction this morning. And then we'll fellowship and we'll eat and we'll give you the rest of it tonight if we can do that. It's good to have some of our dear former church members. The Lord moved them away up to Yankee land in Indiana, but the Coptics, they've been part of our church for many years, and Brother Al was chairman of deacons, and just great friends, good people. And we miss them in our church dearly. God moved them away, a couple years ago, something like that. And they heard I was preaching close by, so they drove from Indiana to hear me preach. Amen. Not really. They just love Kelly. Amen. That's the truth of the matter. But anyway, Genesis chapter number, if you will, let's go to Genesis chapter number 45, if you will. Genesis chapter number 45. I think it's a familiar passage with you. Genesis chapter number 45. I'm going to give you a chance to stretch your legs one more time. If you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. Again, what we'll do is we'll read a few verses here. I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts this morning, and then we will finish the message tonight, okay? Genesis chapter number 45. Let me give you the setting real quickly. The story of Joseph, one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Bible character. What a wonderful type of Christ Joseph is. But remember, Joseph was sent away. His brothers envied him, and they hated him, and they put him in a pit. They were originally going to kill him, but cooler heads somewhat prevailed. They threw him into a pit and they sold him into slavery. And so Joseph's life basically was this. His brothers threw him in a pit. He was taken down to Egypt. And there in Egypt, he was a common slave. He served in the house of Potiphar. He was then slandered and lied about. Ultimately, he was cast into prison. But then through circumstances, God's unseen hand through it all, he was promoted. He was taken out of prison, and promoted. He was, in a nutshell, the second man in charge in all the land of Egypt. God used him. A famine came into the land. You remember that story. Joseph's dad thought he was dead. But when you come to chapter number 45, Joseph basically is the prime minister over all the land of Egypt. His brothers have come to him now. And because of the famine that's in the land, they at first don't recognize that it's the brother that they sold into slavery many years ago. And they're coming now for some food. And so Joseph, in chapter 45, he just has revealed himself as their brother to them. And then he gives them a job to do. He says, I want you to go back home. I want you to tell my father that I'm alive. I want you to bring him, bring the family, bring the flocks, bring everybody back here to be sustained during the years of famine. That's the setting when you come to chapter number 45 and notice what Joseph does. Look in verse number 15. The Bible says, well, verse number 14, and he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Can you imagine what that conversation was about? And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts and go, get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, bring your father and come. Also, regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. The children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, gave them provision for the way. All of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver, 5 changes of raiment. To his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. And when they went up out of Egypt, came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for what our hearts have felt this morning, for what our ears have heard, for what our eyes have seen. Lord, we thank you for the history and the heritage of this church. We thank you for those that have labored, given their lives, Lord, to see you do a work in this place. Lord, I thank you so much for a people that have a desire to see souls saved and lives changed. And Lord, I pray for these next few minutes this morning that you'd open our eyes to see what you have for us to see. Open our ears to hear what you'd have for us to hear. But Lord, most importantly, open our hearts this morning that the Word of God might find good ground. We love you this morning. Looking forward to what you're going to do in our midst. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. A couple of things real quickly. Let me remind you, this is homecoming. This is 17th anniversary of Gateway Baptist Church. And it's also the start of a revival meeting. And so we're going to say some things this week as it unfolds concerning revival. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the revival aspect this morning. I want to kind of emphasize homecoming and anniversary this morning, and we'll get into the reviving part this evening if we can do that. But I will say this, what our nation needs is revival. What our churches need is revival. And we'll mention some of those things again tonight. But I want to draw your attention to what I find in this passage of Scripture. Joseph is now the governor or the prime minister over the land of Egypt. He has finally revealed himself to his brothers. They haven't seen him. They haven't seen him in years. His father lived as if Joseph had been dead for all of these years. And now they come and they're needing food because of the famine in the land. And so they come to Egypt to get food for the famine. And lo and behold, much to their surprise, it's their brother standing there. They didn't recognize him at first because the last time they saw him, he was just a young man, and now he's been living in Egypt all these years. No doubt he has matured physically, but no doubt at the same time probably wore the garb and those kind of things of the Egyptian governor would wear. And so they didn't recognize him at first, but he finally reveals himself to them. And then he says, "This do ye. I've got something I want you to do." Let me remind you again this morning, with revelation always comes responsibility. He said, "I want you to go and I want you to bring my father back here to me, and I want you to bring all of your families. The famine in the land is great, and there's death all around, and so I want you to come and we're going to sustain you during the rest of the days of the famine." And so he gives them this responsibility. And as they are about to leave, he said, "Don't worry about your stuff." That's another message. But by the way, we ought not regard our stuff. Amen. God's got more for us than we could ever have for ourselves anyway. He said, "Don't worry about all of your stuff. I've got everything you possibly could need." He loaded them down and he sent them away. And as they're leaving out, he gave them one word of warning. I want to draw your attention to it this morning there in verse number 24. He sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, "See that you fall not out by the way." He said, "I've got something for you to do, and while you're on this journey, make sure you don't fall out by the way." And we've heard a lot today about 17 years of God's blessing and burdens and blessing and mountaintops and valleys and church and God's blessing and all of those things. But I don't think God's through with you. If He was, He would have already called you home. But I'm going to tell you, there is a responsibility. God's still given us some things to do. And the admonition this morning by way of anniversary and homecoming is this: praise God for the past, but going forward, see that you fall not out by the way. Now, what does that phrase mean? Well, we can take it to mean a couple of different things. I believe Joseph, probably knowing his brothers and knowing their past character and personality, you know, sometimes you can use that term, "fall not out by the way." Don't have a falling out with each other. Hey guys, don't have strife amongst yourself. The task is much too important for that. I would encourage you, see that you fall not out by the way. But I believe more than that, it means don't get sidetracked. Stay on task. Stay in the way. See that you don't get sidetracked to the right or to the left. Stay in the way that I've directed you in. See that you fall not out by the way. Beware of strife and beware of getting sidetracked. Now, here's the question this morning, and I'm going to give it to you as fast as I can, and then we're gonna look at another aspect of it this evening. But watch this. I'm going to preach real quickly this morning on why we can't fall out by the way. Why was Joseph's last words of instruction, encouragement, and admonition, "Hey, make sure you don't fall out by the way. Make sure there's no strife amongst you. Make sure you don't get sidetracked." Why? What's the big deal? I'll give you a couple of things. Number one, why we cannot fall out by the way. Number one, because of the task. because of the task. Look in verse number 18. The Bible says, "And take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded." Notice this next phrase. "This do ye." Verse 17 uses the same phrase. "This do ye. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come." Hey, there was a task that had to be performed. There was a work that had to be done. What was Joseph doing? He was giving them a responsibility. Responsibility. Notice also, just remember, there was a famine in the land. If you were to go back, I'm not going to take the time to look at all of it, but if you were to go back at the earlier part of the chapter, I will mention just a verse or two, but take the time to go read it. But in verse number 5, Joseph said to his brothers, he said, "Don't be angry with yourselves." He says, "For God did send me before you to preserve life." He said, watch this, in verse number 7, "God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Watch this, famine was in the land. And because of the famine, there was death all around. And Joseph said, "Listen, God's put me in this place to save lives." Can I remind you today, the wages of sin is death? Can I remind you today, all around you this morning are people who are dying and going to hell. And I can't fall out by the way this morning. I can't fall out by the way because the task involves a famine in the land. It's a spiritual famine. And the task is too great. People are dying and going to hell. And if I get sidetracked or if I get bent out of shape with somebody and strife causes me to go to the right hand or to the left and I'm not staying on point to the task and the mission that God has called me to do, people are going to die and go to hell. That's way more important than the color of the carpet. You say, "Well, that's all silly." I have seen it. I have seen... Y'all think we make this stuff up. I have seen people get out of church because somebody sat in their seat. A visitor sat in their seat. I'm talking about somebody who was raised in church, got angry and upset and got out of church. They're back now, but got out of church for a while because somebody, a visitor, sat in their seat. See that you fall not out by the way. The task is too important. People are dying and we're worried about what color carpet we got. There's death. Famine. Let me give you another reason. The task is great because of the famine that was in the land, but also because of, look at verse number 19. Look at verse number 19. "Thou art commanded, this do you, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives." For your little ones. For your wives. Can I tell you today, we can't fall out by the way because there's famine in the land. People are dying all around us, but can I tell you, we've got a family. You know what? You know what the task involved? Bring your family. Go get daddy and go get your little ones. Bring the family back here. Well, I tell you what, when I think about why I can't fall out by the way, I can't fall out by the way this morning because I got people. Well, they're not little anymore. They're grown up and having babies, crying out loud. My baby is your pastor's wife. I've got a little one in that nursery back there right now. I can't fall out by the way. What if Papa falls out by the way? What's going to happen to Jackson and Noah and Allie and Holly and the unnamed one yet to be? I I get bent out of shape, and I fall out by the way. I've had people come to me and say, I just don't know what's wrong. I don't know what happened to my family. You fell out by the way a long time ago, and you brought your family with you. Hello? It's too much. It's too important. It's too important. Joseph, last word. By the way, last words of instruction are oftentimes... I remember giving some last words of instruction to my kids whenever they'd be going out the door or I'd be going out the door. Before we get home, make sure this kitchen is clean. I'll share with y'all some of those testimonies. Not only the famine in the family, but Joseph's ultimate task was bring Father home. Bring Father to me. So I can't fall out, by the way, number one, because of the task. But I want you to notice also, I can't fall out, by the way. Look at verse 22. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with the corn and bread and meat for his father, by the way. You see, when they left, he loaded them down with some things. And he said very simply, hey, make sure you don't fall out, by the way. Because, watch this, I've invested too much in you. Number one, there's the task. I can't fall out, by the way, because the task, the job at hand, the mission, if you will, the commission, we would say, is far too important. Can't fall out, by the way. But there's also a treasure. He loaded them down with these goods. The good things of Egypt, it says. Corn and bread and meat for your father. And he sent after 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt. And I say this morning, and I'm gonna close it off here in just a moment. But you can't, as a church, fall out, by the way, because there's been too much invested. You're carrying your treasure. There's been some blood and some sweat and some tears. Hey, you can't fall out, by the way, because there's some people. And by the way, you know, oftentimes we point to the pastor and his wife and the pastor and his, now. But the people. There's been too much invested. We just watched it. We just saw it. And for crying out loud, I'm a visitor and I was crying. Why? Because I know the investment. Just change the numbers and the faces, and there sat me, and my family, and my church family. It's too much invested. Time, energy, money, tears, work, labor. It now. Don't fall out, by the way, now. The job is too important and the investment is too great. Joseph said, see that you fall not out, by the way. The question this morning, I'm amazed sometimes at this. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about that race that we're running. Let us run with patience that, you know, the race that is set before us. You know, I'm amazed at the phrase where the Bible says this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. You know, a lot of times we talk about the weight and the sin. But you know what we don't mention a whole lot? Is that phrase which doth so easily beset us. You know what's sad today? we're easily beset. It doesn't take much, sadly, to get us sidetracked. Lay aside the weight and lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset us. That's why Joseph said, "See that you fall not out by the way." Beware of strife and beware of getting sidetracked because the task is too great. People are dying. If I fall out by the way, who's going to die and go to hell because I quit? I got sidetracked. I've got a family coming up behind me, and if I quit, I'm going to bring them along with me. And what's going to happen to them? See that you fall not out by the way because I've got a Father. Can I put it this way this morning? I have a Heavenly Father. And it's really all about Him. You see, Joseph was basically saying the point of this, whole point of this, it's about Father. And the point of this, it's about Him. It's not about Reuben, it's not about you. Simeon, it's not about you. It's about Him. So beware of strife and beware of getting sidetracked. There's been too much invested. You're carrying a great treasure. So see that you fall not out by the way. My encouragement this morning as a church is this. Now we're going to start talking about revival tonight. But we're talking about homecoming. Anniversary this morning. And you've seen, and you've heard, and felt. What a great heritage. What a the song of God. He's been good. He has been good. God's been good. But moving forward, be careful. Beware. Moving forward, because we are so easily beset, see that you fall not out by the way. Stand.